I am going through one of the biggest changes of my life, and it's terrifying, and it's magical, and it's what I have to do. It's a rebirth, and unless you're willing to go through one of these transformations, you will never know the pain and the beauty and the beauty and the pain. I don't know why I'm sharing this. I just have to get it off my chest. You learn so much about yourself in a stage of growth, in a stage of cocooning. And then whenever you are born again and you see life and you want to live life and you want to create and you want to do things, but you're so scared to fail in front of anyone. Sometimes people think that our journey has something against them, that their journey has some kind of vendetta, but it doesn't. My journey is my own. My journey is my own. And that is so true. It's always been my journey. And I just want to share that with you all, so you know to never give up on yourself. Never give up on what you want to do. Have faith and want to grow. And believe that love conquers all. And it's unconditional. And it's non-judgmental. And it wants to see you flourish. And it has nothing but that sacred love to see you grow. And be proud to watch you. And not scared of what could happen, but just pure, utter, raw love for the growth process. Thank you guys so much for coming back to another episode of the Psychonauts Mirror. This one is going to be pretty heavy because I'm going through so many changes in my life. And I'm going to share some of the deepest, darkest times of my journey to be able to show you what a beautiful life I've been living for the past 3 years of growth, because it's coming up on 3 years of growth and I am flourishing and blossoming, and I'm so excited to share that with you all. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for coming back for another crazy, fucking beautiful ride through the journey, sitting in front of the mirror with the one and only hood hippie, psychonaut extraordinaire. Love you. Okay, so July 2013 is the day, July 1st, 2013, is the day that a idea manifested into my mind with the help of more seeding from family to move to New Mexico. My son had revealed a terrible, awful secret that had been buried very deep, that included the addiction his father had. My son had witnessed something that a little boy at 5 should never have to witness. Something I never even knew existed, but knew existed and let it continue to be swept under the rug. So when this terrible, awful got exposed to my sister, and my sister told me, I
packed the clothes that my children and I had and moved out of the apartment that I shared with their father. I told nobody, not one of my friends, not my boss where I worked, nobody knew besides my family that I was leaving. And of course, their father, because I had to move out of where we shared a home together. He told me, make sure that this is what you want, because once you leave, you can never come back. And I knew that it was the only way that I would never go back to him was to move that far away, because we were very codependent with each other. So I did what I did. Went and got my paycheck from 7-Eleven, because that's where I worked. I was a counselor / checker. If you've ever worked for 7-Eleven, trust me, you know you become family with your customers. You just have a bond. And I worked overnights, so I had my normal old men that came in for their coffee and would shoot the shit with me every morning. We would all have the same jolly conversations about what was going on in the damn world. And there, that was really hard, because I'd worked for 7-Eleven for quite a while. I loved 7-Eleven. I loved that job. I loved the people, the interaction, and getting to talk to all different walks of life. And I worked with some of the really coolest people ever when I worked with 7-Eleven, when it was owned by, I think his name was Jim Brown. Before it was corporate 7-Eleven, and it was hometown only Oklahoma 7-Eleven. That's when I worked there. So, when it was a old, good old boy still. So I up and left. I didn't have a vehicle, and I moved to a new state with no vehicle, just our clothes, right in with my sister. And this was supposed to be a fresh start for me. And it definitely was such a beautiful place to get that fresh start. Magical. You know, what better than mountains to heal in? Well, I, you know, was still stuck in a stupid cycle. And it's so funny now looking back, because I can see all of these, like, synchronicities before going to New Mexico. I had actually seen the person I would ultimately end up with. I had actually met that person. Not met him, seen him driving, and when I seen him driving, I mentioned something about him, and he was a drummer, and so my sister told me, oh, he's this drummer for the church, blah, blah, blah. Super cool. Never thought about that person again. Well, I then, and sorry for the sniffles, I've been crying a whole bunch. Well, then circa back to July, I move straight over there directly, settle myself into my sister's house, find a job at the only gas station in Capitan, New Mexico. I started working at that gas station there, the only gas station in town. So just know, if you work in a small town at the only gas station around for 30 minutes, you sell booze and you sell cigarettes. Trust me, sis and bro, You're going to get the tea and the scoop on everything in town. And trust me, I was warned. And I think my master manifestation skills created the exact life that everyone warned me of. So I meet everyone. I get to start talking to everyone. They get to know me. I stick out quite a bit. I am a free spirit. I'm new in town, so yeah, I stick out like a sore thumb. And I always wear a bandana. I never go a day with missing a beat about having my bandana in my hair. And I wear my hair a certain way. And I guess being in a small town, people pick up on the small things on you. Well, so, I ultimately, meet a person, and this is the person that I see, this drummer. So, of course, yeah, I am a music junkie and a recovering addict. So, hello, there's your first red flag. So, still in a vicious cycle of dependent on myself at all, just codependent on the need of someone else's approval. Like, what the fuck? So I end up ultimately meeting someone, this drummer, and we form a relationship. And it, like most that are lost and very codependent on someone and something, we find each other, throw red flags all over the place, and start using together after both being sober. So that's fun. And we both spiral very quickly out of control. Sad times in your life when you do things like that. I don't know if this resonates with anyone. Just know that you're not the only one out there if you've been so codependent on someone else's approval that it feels like the only way to be authentic is through the approval of someone else's eyes. I look back now and I just see how I've always had that need for approval, and I don't desire that need for approval anymore. I know thyself. And so I spiral completely. But I do some really cool things along the way. I start being a ranch hand. You know, I see now the beauty in so much and so many things. And I look back at that time that I spent there in a purgatory that I created for myself, but I see all the beautiful lessons that I learned within those times. I gave myself a chance to try new things that I never, ever in a million years thought I would. And I did. And I flourished. And I met so many good people along the way. When I had been there, I had lost my way. I had ended up in jail more than once. The second time I went, I stayed for a month, and it was very scary. And I don't know what I would have done if I would have continued, if I would have continued to stay there and not go back to Oklahoma. So I went to jail. And I'm going to tell you, it was probably the best experience of my life. I really, really found myself there. I found a very strong group of very lost and hurt, abandoned women. Ones that I know now are flourishing, ones that I know now that have fallen back into those same patterns of destruction, and ones that I still see fucking killing the game. We used to call it New Mexico, the land of entrapment, motherfucker. You know, because that's what it felt like. We fucking entrapped ourselves there. We became slaves there. But every bit of that slavery I self-inflicted. I grew so much from watching the downfall, the rising, the downfalls and the risings. I grew so much there. I gave my truths to so many, and I gave my love to one, and the pain that one endured so much in life, self-inflicted. He couldn't release himself from his chains and his bondages. I would sit with him and in really fucked up states of mind, but he knew his place in this world. And I want to share this story of something that one of my teachers, one of my wisest teachers, Leticia, she shared a story about this soul that they made a pact, like, when we go back to Earth, you know, you teach me unconditional love. And that spirit, that other angel said, well, then I might have to do things to you that hurt you or that might even make me forget who I am. And then you might forget who you are for a little bit. And that's the gist of the story, like, these angel buddies, they make these pacts to help each other grow in this earthly realm that we live in. And I learned unconditional love by loving this man through some of his darkest times. I lost myself in this person, and trying to heal this person of his darkest demons. And he ultimately could not fight those demons, and he's no longer here on this earthly plane. And I think every bit of sheer terror that I indulged in. But I will tell you, when I lived in New Mexico, I had this hippie fucking sister. And she showed me this really cool shop that you could get, like, teas and just all natural stuff. And it was all locally sourced, all from the fucking mountains. Like, come the fuck on. This was legit shit. And so I went to these places with her, and I started getting these oils, these essential oils. So I started using lavender oil. I just grew a super kind of like attachment to it. My sister had thrown some of her hippie lingo at me, like, oh, it will help with anxiety. You know, if you're feeling a certain kind of way, you can learn to calm down. Just smell this oil. And I'm like, sure, what the fuck ever, but give it to me because I'll try it. And something seemed to be working for her. She seemed just fine. To an extent, you know, we all are not okay at some point in times, and we all get to see that if we share that with one another. But also, my sister's really also good at being a master secretive person too. We were just taught those kinds of ways, and those are the kinds of ways that we're, you know, breaking now, that kind of conditioning that you have to be secretive. So I get this lavender oil, and I don't remember what I had watched on TV or where I had heard it, but I had heard that if you call upon Archangel Michael, that he would protect you. And I didn't know what the fuck that meant. What I knew that my brain told me it meant was, it meant you are going to be safe here, that you are going to be cared for, you're going to be just fine. I seen this, you know, masculine, you know, divine angel looking entity with these massive wings that I would envision in my head, and I would draw crosses on my kids' forehead. Call me fucking weird, whatever. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I was very scared and in a new place and was willing to try anything and say anything that would tell my mind that we were safe and we were taken care of. So that was the way that I chose to do it. I would call upon Archangel Michael for his divine protection and his divine guidance and to always be surrounding, you know, my family and my children and me and my parents because they were so far away. And my other sister, my other brothers, you know, and I would just send out this SOS to him and I would really divinely put it over my children's father. Because I didn't want him to die, you know. I didn't want him to die when I first moved there. I never want anyone to die. And I would always divinely put the protection over him also. And his family. Because I knew they suffered, you know, not just from addiction. But they suffered from, you know, the wounded healer. The mother trying to cure the children, you know. It's such a sad thing to watch. And coming back now into realization and all the pain, I feel it. I couldn't see it then. I was a scared little kid trying to raise these babies. And when I say little kid, yeah, I was 21 when I had my first kid. So yeah, I wasn't a kid, but get real. You're a fucking kid still at 21. And their father's younger. And so I would protect my children with this divine guidance of Archangel Michael. Whoever put it in my path knew what they were doing. They seated correctly because Michael has always been here watching over me now. I mean, I'm sure he was before, but I called upon him and I made it a ritual. I did it all the time. Even in my states of using, before my kids left and went and lived with my parents, I would still divinely put the Archangel Michael over them. So I then there, everything's good. I'm working at this gas station, getting all the juice. I meet the drummer. We become star-crossed lovers, of course. I stop mothering and I realize that my children need to go spend time with my parents. So for 6 months, I ship them off back to Oklahoma. I fall to pieces and I become engulfed in addiction again and with the drummer, and he becomes very abusive. It first starts with the physical or the mental, not the physical. It starts mentally. Of course, I just put it off as it is what it is. And I leave it there and I don't touch it. He's just a lost soul. He does love me. He just doesn't know how to show it because he wasn't given it. I learned unconditional love from him. He was very abusive physically. He didn't care if anyone knew, but he didn't want to be the bad guy. It had to have been something I did. I didn't do anything but love him, care for him, and follow in his footsteps of addiction, because that's where I wanted to be. That's where I thought I was supposed to be. And ultimately, I grew. Not always the way I wanted to, but the way it was intended to be, I assume. I work several jobs. I work at the ranch. This little fucking yuppie girl went from yuppie to a fucking cowgirl. I cowgirled up. I did branding with these cowboys, and I flourished on the ranch. I found such a love for horses, for cattle, for their service that they do with humans, the interaction I got to have with animals and with Mama Earth, the beauty that I would see in the stars, because trust me, the drugs I was doing, I didn't stop from looking up no matter the time of day. I always kept my eyes up. I got to see my first recollections of non-judgmental outlook on starships, where I could identify that I was being contacted by beings. And yes, you can say, oh, well, you were under the influence. Yeah, motherfuckers, I was. But I can guarantee you my nights of clarity, I had months of clarity. And that is when I was most divinely connected with these beings that would reveal their source of communication with me that time. And that was their ships, because they knew I was looking up. I never stopped looking up, and I knew when they were communicating, and I knew when they were telling me things, and I knew I was okay, because the beating that my body took on, I should be dead. I should not be walking this plane of existence. My vessel had taken so much trauma that I'm surprised I even have a fucking nervous system. Okay, let's just get that clear. The trauma that my body endured is something that I don't wish on anyone. I don't wish anyone have to learn unconditional love through being completely hurt and torn to pieces. I don't wish that on anyone. But this was the way I chose to learn unconditional love and what it meant for unconditional love. I know that it was wrong, every ounce of what happened to me. But it was the way I chose to learn unconditional love. And that's okay. I'm so thankful for the time I got to spend in New Mexico. And believe you me, I'm going to end up back there. I repeat, I am manifesting back in New Mexico with my children. Absolutely. Yes, I thoroughly am putting that out there into the universe to end up back there. That is the ultimate goal, because that is such a beautiful place to grow, and I am grateful for it. Thank you, Divine Creator, for all of the beautiful lessons and the beautiful souls you put in my pathway. I had a black eye, busted up face. I looked like a fucking lion or a cat. That's where I fucking became the fucking lioness, because my face was busted up and I looked like a lion. And I had a friend, her name was Sunshine. And she come over to me on her high horse and told me that I needed to wake up and figure out what I was doing. Well, I damn sure did. And I want to thank you, Sunshine, because you picked me up when I had fallen without judgment, but so non-judgmental, but on a fucking high horse, but you had me on a pedestal. You seen my potential, and you seen my turkeys, and you loved them, and you taught me so much. I thank you, and I am so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you.
Well, that was part one of 2013 and New Mexico. I'll be giving you a little bit more of New Mexico tomorrow. I love you all so much. Good night. From the Psychonauts Mirror.